Blog Talk Radio.
We have never had in the history of the country such obstruction. President's nomination, he has no choice. He shall nominate. So he's going to nominate someone. But we've already been told there will be no hearings, there will be no vote, and then to make it even unbelievable, they won't even meet with this nominee. So we want them to do their jobs. That's all we ask. Do your job.
Why are they so adamant about blocking this president from making a Supreme Court appointment? Is it concern over the issues set to come before the court, or a desire to appoint a justice who may be inclined to put conservative ideology ahead of his or her obligations? Whatever the reason, the obstruction they're contemplating is unprecedented. There's plenty of precedent for Supreme Court confirmations in this situation. 14 of the 112 justices in our history were confirmed in the final year of a presidential term. And one of those was Justice Anthony Kennedy, a Californian who was confirmed in President Ronald Reagan's final year in office. It was a democratically controlled Senate that moved Kennedy's nomination to the floor.
Let's get ready to rumble!
Listen, you got to come see us when you come to New York, VP Biden.
I will.
It's a long way until November. We got more questions.
You got more questions, but I tell you, if you have a problem figuring out whether you're for me or Trump, then you ain't black.
It don't have nothing to do with Trump. It has to do with the fact I want something for my community. I would love to see
you. Take a look at my record, man. I extended the voting rights 25 years.
What happens now is that we, in fact, have to fundamentally change the culture of how women are treated. That's why, as vice president, when I asked the president I could start the movement on the college campuses to say, it's on us. It's everyone's responsibility. No man has a right to raise a hand to a woman in anger other than in self-defense, and that rarely ever occurs. And so we have to just change the culture, period, and keep punching at it and punching at it and punching at it. It will be a big I really mean it. It's a gigantic issue, and we have to make it clear from the top, from the president on down, that we will not tolerate it. We will not tolerate this culture.
Hello. All right. Hello? Bullshit. Hello? Hello?
All right. Seems like we got cut off there. The technical difficulties of the internet. But we're going to go to our first caller. Caller, you're on the air.
Hey, Will, how are you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Fine. I've talked to you before. This is Steve from North Carolina on your first show.
Yes, Steve,
glad,
I remember
glad
you.
Glad to be calling you back. Yeah, yeah. We have a mutual friend. I just wanted to make a very couple quick comments and then hear your commentary. So the first thing I want to say is I mistakenly called in. I thought it was the EIB network and Rush Limbaugh, and he said, oh, no, this new kid's taking over. He put me through to you. Yeah. Yeah. You guys have to have the same ethos. So you hear what I'm saying. But this thing about this Supreme Court nominee, here's what I want to say just very quickly, and then I'll just let you have at it. You know what? They're going to gripe and bitch and complain, gripe, moan, complain because it's a woman and because this nominee is a Roman Catholic. Well, just remember the Kennedys, John and Robert,
yep,
and the whole family, and Ted on the opposite side of the fence. But yeah, I mean, all did a pretty respectful job. Even Republicans, you know, older Republicans will vote for these folks. But here's another one. They're going to raise heck about Catholics. Let them say, well, if that disqualifies this nominee to the Supreme Court, let them disqualify Nancy Pelosi and impeach her for her faith. That's what I called you to tell you.
Well, that's
and you
a great
can have
point.
Fun with that all night.
Yeah, she calls herself a practicing Catholic, which is funny, but obviously not. You know what it is? I think that they just – it's okay as long as you're not an actual Catholic. You know, if you believe in abortion on demand and – I mean, Joe Biden is a Catholic. So, I mean, they obviously don't care about, you know, calling yourself a Catholic in name only. As long as you're not an actual Catholic, then it's okay. But, you know – and by the way – I have a big problem with the people that think that she can't do her job because she's a Catholic, that somehow the Pope will dictate what goes on in this country because she's a Catholic. I mean, she's gotten this far in her career as a judge. I think that, you know, objectivity is probably one of and the law is probably paramount, or she wouldn't have gotten this far. But of course, they're going to paint it in a certain way and paint her as some right-wing religious zealot in order to stop the nomination. But you know what, Steve? We have the votes. That's all that really matters.
You think so, Will, even with how this election is rigged? Never before in this country have we seen mail-in vote. I mean, we've had absentee balloting, you know, voting, but now it's like mandated and it's being – I live in North Carolina. I got stuff across my mailbox.
Well, I mean, we have the votes.
And there's plenty of opportunities for election fraud here.
Well, we have the votes to put her on the Supreme Court, and I think we're going to do that regardless of what happens here, even before the election.
Oh,
but I'm talking about,
oh, I see.
Yeah,
I thought you were talking about the presidential ballot now.
Yeah,
okay.
The votes for the presidential ballot. I don't put anything past the Democrats, but let me just tell you, you know, you'll hear people talk about well, you know, election fraud is very little, and there isn't that much. First off, that's untrue. There's plenty of election fraud. But let's just say that what they'll do to slant the statistics is say, well, you know, of these couple hundred thousand fraudulent votes and all of these millions of votes that were cast, it's such a very small percentage. But if you look at how Trump won the election and you look at the counties that he flipped in Pennsylvania and Michigan that were blue dog Democrats that he flipped and he won those states and he won the election, it would only take a handful of votes if strategically placed in the right places to flip the election by flipping those counties back to blue. Yeah. So it really wouldn't take much fraud, especially with the amount of mail. I mean, in your state, do you realize in your state a couple of weeks ago, 800,000 mail-in ballots were mailed out? 800,000!
I know, I got one.
And they think that we're – listen, the things that they do, the Democrats obviously think that everyone in this country is dumb. I mean, let's face it. There is no way that the impeachment – everything they've done to try to get this guy out of office before he even put his hand on the Bible, you know, you have to be either willfully ignorant or dumb to not see that they might as well just put a tank on the White House lawn. I mean, this is like trying to overthrow a freely elected president. And now what we're seeing, I mean, she's threatening to impeach the president of the United States for doing his sworn duty as the president. A constitutional responsibility. Think about how insane that is. The mere suggestion of it, to me, is criminal, is treasonous.
Well, everything's crazy. I don't want to take up your caller's time.
Yeah, we have a lot of calls, actually, tonight.
I want to take
Steve,
up your caller's time, but I do appreciate talking to you for a second time. I'll probably call you a third or fourth.
Oh, I hope you keep calling.
Just get the word out. Get the word out and get a bunch of people straightened out. I appreciate you.
Thanks. I appreciate it very much. And I love North Carolina, by the way. My mom actually lives in North Carolina. That's not the mutual friend that we have, but they live in Wilmington. So, you know, they're down there, too.
I won't mention a name, but our mutual friend is up on Long Island. You'll figure it out.
I know who
you
are. Thanks a lot, Steve.
Buddy.
I'll talk to you soon.
Yeah.
You too.
All right, buddy. Have a good night. Bye-bye.
Take it easy. I got to be honest. I love Steve. You know what? I love all of you guys that are calling. It doesn't matter what side you're on. Okay? Listen, call and give your opinion. Now, I made a promise to a mutual friend of mine that no matter what you say, I was going to give you at least 2 to 3 minutes to say whatever you want. You could literally call me and tell me that Trump is Satan. You could tell me Trump is Satan. I will still give you 2 minutes before I obviously beat you to oblivion for saying something so ridiculous. Like the people that say, Trump is like Hitler. Yeah, totally like Hitler. Except like without like, I don't know, genocide and murdering 9 million people and causing a war that caused the death of like 50 million people. Yeah, totally like Hitler, except like, you know, without the death camps and arbitrary imprisonment and kidnapping and murder. Yeah, but totally like Hitler. I mean, like what kind of brain dead imbecile do you have to be? Oh, well, we're comparing the way he speaks and his cadence and his you can compare a lot of people to Hitler then. But the reason you use the name Hitler is to draw an unfair comparison, especially in the minds of the weak. Okay, next caller. Let's see who we got here.
Hello.
Caller, you're on.
Am I here?
Oh, it's
Am
Bill.
I on?
What's up, buddy? Yeah, you're on.
Hey, what's up, Will? Man,
how are you? Sorry about the
difficulties there. Huh?
Yeah, sorry about that. I had such good stuff too.
Yeah,
I have it on video. I'll put it on the podcast.
Okay, I'm going to make an argument as to why Joe Biden should be able to use an earpiece during tonight's debate. Under the Americans with Disabilities Act, he should be allowed to use it. He's suffering from mental decline, and in order to make it an even playing field, he should be able to use an earpiece, and his campaign staff should be able to speak the answers into his ears, just like somebody with ADD should be allowed to have extra time to take examinations. So Joe Biden should be allowed to use an earpiece. But
I think you're
being
a little bit facetious. I think you're being a
yes,
little
I
bit
am.
Facetious, right?
Yes,
okay.
I
caught
up
to the sarcasm. You were laying
back
on.
I just got back from South Dakota, where you wouldn't know that the coronavirus exists in South Dakota. You know, they've had 20,000 cases since this whole thing started, and 203 deaths since this whole thing started. So no one wears masks over there. It's not a dense population. They're not, you know, pushed all together. Everyone's out in the outdoors. Everyone's spaced apart naturally. Social distancing is like their natural way of existing over there because they live far apart from each other. When I come back to New York, I'm supposed to quarantine for 14 days, even though Cuomo killed 21,000 people in nursing homes alone by making nursing homes accept COVID patients. So I'm over there, and I wouldn't even know that the coronavirus existed. A spattering of people might have worn masks, but nobody wore masks over there. We washed our hands. I didn't cough on people. I didn't breathe on people. I didn't get close. If I shook hands, I used a hand sanitizer. There was hand sanitizer everywhere. But I got to live my life. You know, even to go even further than that, when I went to Wyoming, they don't even have anti-smoking laws in bars in Wyoming. And it got me to thinking, how did they get us to sacrifice our liberties? And I think it all started with the seatbelt laws. You know, the seatbelt laws were the first laws where you were required to do something, not to protect society, but to protect yourself. The only person who gets injured if you're not wearing a seatbelt is you. But they got us to accept the seatbelt laws. And when they originally got us to accept it, they said they would never pull us over just for not having a seatbelt. It would always be an adjunct to some other moving violation.
Well, you know,
that's... They did away with that, and now they got seatbelt checkpoints. You know?
Well, that's why...
Go ahead.
Well, I just want to say something real quick. That's why it's so important to ask when legislation like this comes out, or any legislation. It's so important to ask, where is the line? You see, you can't draw lines, especially with our constitutional freedoms. That's why I'm such a free speech purist. Because today you tell me, well, you know what? You said something about Jewish people. That's hate speech. And I say to myself, okay, you know, you're right. You shouldn't say a bad thing about somebody. That's hate speech. Well, you said something horrible about black people. That's hate speech. Okay, yeah, you know what? You shouldn't say that. That is hate speech. It is hate speech. And maybe you should criminalize that type of speech. You're right. Then what happens when they turn around and say, you say something bad about the government? That's hate speech. You see, quickly they erode over time at your rights. And you don't even see it happening.
They use narratives, right? They use narratives like after the Parkland shooting. You know, we should ban assault rifles. We have to ban assault rifles. What do you need an assault rifle for? You know, to go hunting, you don't need an assault rifle. To protect your home, you don't need an assault rifle. Well, a clip with six bullets should be sufficient to protect your home. Well, what about now when they're defunding the police and you might get a mob of BLM Antifa protesters storming your house? You think a clip of six bullets is going to help you protect your house?
Try to buy an assault rifle right now. Go try to buy an assault rifle right now. Great job, Democrats. You don't want people to buy assault rifles. So instead of having things kept, you know, with law and order, let's have angry mobs of people burning down cities and people's businesses and killing people and injuring people and hurting cops and throwing Molotov cocktails. And you have sold so many guns for the gun makers. You have sold so many guns for them. You can't even get guns and bullets right now. If you wanted to, go down to any rifle shop or hunting store and try to buy a firearm. You want a shotgun? Yeah. Okay. Yeah. It's going to be about, you know, 10 feet long. There's no home defense guns. There's no assault rifles. There's nothing there.
The gun manufacturers should be sending campaign contributions to all these feckless Democrat mayors.
I wouldn't be surprised. You know, to be honest with you, if I was a gun manufacturer, I would be one of the people donating to Antifa and BLM. I'd be like, yeah, go burn it down. Sell us some guns. All right. Listen, Bill, I got a million phone calls, but thank you for – do you have something else for me?
Good. Looking forward to the debate tonight.
Oh, man. I'm going to call you tonight.
Yeah.
I'm going to call you tonight. We're going to
last thing before. One last thing before I go. In South Dakota, everybody – I know it's only 3 electoral votes – but everybody loves Trump. They actually had about 8 Trump shops selling nothing but Trump memorabilia. In Deadwood, South Dakota, you know, where Wild Bill Hickok was killed and where Calamity Jane is buried, they had a Trump shop right on Main Street right there.
Yeah.
Right, you know, you saw the show on HBO Deadwood with Timothy Oliphant.
You know how I feel about that too, right? Like about like Trump flags and stuff. I mean, nothing for nothing. I love all you people out there, and you are going to get my vote. But I didn't have a flag for Reagan, so I'm not going to have a flag for Trump. I mean, listen, I'll have an American
flag.
We should have.
Well,
but we didn't. So now
they would have had to sew it. They would have had to sew it back then. Now we got computers. All right, talk to you later.
I'll talk to you tonight during the debate.
Great show.
All right, bye.
Great show, bye.
Let's see here. You know, I wonder if we're going to get this tonight.
Come to you and talk to you about inequality in schools and race. In a conversation about how to deal with segregation in schools back in 1975, you told a reporter, "I don't feel responsible for the sins of my father and grandfather. I feel responsible for what the situation is today, for the sins of my own generation, and I'll be damned if I feel responsible to pay for what happened 300 years ago."
That was before he became an apologist, and then we all know what happened in the answer after that. We'll play it again later. That was Joe Biden before he decided that, oh, I need to sell myself out to go become the president of the United States, and I have to just make sure that I get the right vote from all the right people and make sure that I say I am responsible for everything that happened 250 years ago. Let's see. I have an awesome call coming up right now. I'd like to hear this because it looks like what we screened sounds really good. So hold on. All right, caller, you're on.
Yeah, well, this is Naj, since I wasn't properly introduced. How you doing, my man?
Hey, Naj, how are you?
I'm good, man. Hey, sometimes it's good to talk to the opposing side. And by opposing side, I mean way further left than Biden. I'm a man with no party, no Dem, no Repub. But the thing I wanted to call in about is I don't know how much debates mean anymore. Like when you think about it, when we had a slow news cycle, meaning mostly newspapers and magazines and all of that stuff, when you had debates, it was like this big thing. You're hearing the candidates talk. You're able to, you know, kind of hold their feet to the fire about different issues. Now, through soundbite media, video clips, and everything else, we pretty much know where they stand on most things. I think most voters are decided. This idea that we have so many undecideds, I think, is nonsense. I don't think we're going to have the – in 4 years, I think this whole format is going to be different. Either they're going to change how it's done or when it's done. Because at this point – what are we actually doing besides people speaking to their faction? So when Biden makes a zinger tonight, the Dem people are going to go on social media and tell the Trump peoples, you know, hey, you see, you hear that? You see that? They'll retweet it a million times. And the same thing for the Trump supporters. But is anybody's mind actually going to be changed tonight? I highly doubt it. So I'm just wondering about this whole process, man. Like, have we thought about that? Like, what does this mean? And then if we're being real, are the moderators actually going to ask really, really, really tough questions and therefore never be able to moderate an event like this again? You see what I'm saying? So I don't know, man. It's just kind of failure is baked into the cake of this to where it's kind of more a media episode than it is something that's really for the citizenry. Like, what are we getting after tonight? People are going to order their wings and stuff, and they're going to switch back and forth between the Yankees and the debate. And I think the Yankees are going to win for the most part. Where people decide, I'm just going to watch the Yankee game.
Well, a couple things. First off, I like your call, but I really like the way you make your presentation. Okay, you definitely have thought about this. But you're right. I mean, especially in a time when everyone is so dug in and so polarized, what do the debates really mean? I mean, let's face it. I'm voting for Trump. And I'm probably, and I am in your camp, actually. I feel like I've been forced into a camp. I'm a registered independent. I believe in a lot of things that if you talk to me about the socioeconomics behind certain people and their votes and what's led to certain things in this country, I'm actually a little bit on the left. If you talk to me about social services or what people call entitlement programs, I am very much in the center on that. Okay, if you talk to me about the economics of this country, I'm also very much in the center on that. I'm really what you would consider a conservative when it comes down to people's freedom to say and do and think and feel what they want. So my vote is already cast in my mind. There's almost, unless Trump, the only person that could beat Trump in my mind is Trump. You know, does something come out terrible about his tax returns or something like that? But as far as, you know, the political environment today, everyone's so dug in, so polarized. You're right. What does the debate really mean? I'm just going to use it as fodder when Joe Biden says something stupid. Think
yeah,
about it.
Yeah.
I'm going
to your hold on. To your freedom of speech point, another thing we got to kind of talk about is no matter what, the big apparatuses that run social media, from Twitter to Google to Facebook, all these different things. Neither party wants to address them because these are the companies and platforms with huge pockets who can not only ruin you as a party or a candidate, but can donate and kind of push you to where you need to be so they can dictate policy. would you be against nationalizing some of these things just because they go so much into shaping opinion? Because I feel like at this point, the power of Facebook and Twitter and these things, like, I don't think we have any idea what they've done to, like, the boomer generation, to where people are just repeating things that they've read in memes. And, like, the amount of disinfo and misinfo out there now, man, it is incredible. So I don't know, man.
You know, at another time, well, I mean, we could go on a little more, but I want to just say a couple of things here. At another time, I'm going to leave you on hold after we're done, and Rob's going to get your number, or you're going to call here, and we're going to set up a time that you can actually call in and talk, you know, as a guest for a little while, because there's a lot of interesting things that you bring up, and probably a lot of area where I could see that. And since I'm actually pretty independent, even though people think I'm hardcore Trump, I'm just hardcore against what the left is doing right now. But, you know, as a matter of fact, it's funny because
what liberals are doing, not the left, you know. You know,
well,
you know
to
what
me,
liberals do to the left. That's Bernie Sanders.
Yeah, I don't really I don't like using that word liberal for them, really, because to me, that's not, there's nothing liberal about telling people how to think or how to feel. I think to me, they're very left. I think liberals, true liberals, even left of center liberals, or I think people that really believe it's your freedom and your right to believe what you want and feel the way you want, and I don't feel that I have to sanction you. That's liberal to me. But like you were saying, going back, because you said something very interesting, nationalizing it, okay? Well, one thing that I am is, I mean, I believe in a mixed economy, but I am pretty much a staunch capitalist, okay? And I don't believe in nationalizing anything at all, ever. Okay, especially when it comes to speech and media. What I do feel, though, is that since they feel they have the right to censor content, I believe that they should be open to liability. See, if you're not going to be a true free speech platform, Facebook, there are laws that protect these companies because, you know, they're free speech platforms. But the fact is that if you censor what our people are saying, then therefore your censorship of that makes you open to liability because you're saying what can be said and what can't be said. So there's a whole discussion we could have on that, about the laws on that and how that all these social media platforms, if you're going to censor content, you should be open to liability for that now, because now you're making editorial. Okay. Now you're editing people's commentary. If they just sat back and said, listen, free speech is free speech, and you're free to be a despicable, horrible person and say awful things, and if you can't handle it, don't go on social media, well, then that's a different story. And that's really, unfortunately, the way it should be. And then you're just going to see what kind of awful people are out there. We see it. You know, just because Facebook kicks somebody off for a month doesn't mean we get to see what kind of, you know, dirtbag somebody is for something that they posted before they got thrown off. And you as a person get to decide.
That's a great point. But their lawyers would argue that puts them in a predicament of being responsible for serious violence or something else driven by hysteria online, to where a fake
great,
story
so then,
grows legs, people believe it, and then something happens, and then the blowback happens to them.
Right, but then
Analytica is kind of going through that right now. So,
right,
I
get that, but you know, if they're not censoring at all, if they have no censorship at all, and they're like, hey, it is what it is, well, then it just goes back to what free speech really is, especially on the internet. It's the Wild West of free speech. It shouldn't be up to Facebook to decide what is horrible speech or hate speech. It should be up to the consumers of Facebook. When they see a post that they don't like, they can block it. They can block the user. Okay, listen, what really changes things in this country? You know, I know we had the civil rights legislation in 1964, but what really changed everything at that time when Rosa Parks wanted to sit on the front of the bus? What really changed everything? She went to the front of the bus and they said, no, you can't go on the front of the bus. And then everybody boycotted the bus companies. And they said, oh, my God, we just lost all our ridership. You know, when you go in to get a cake baked at the baker and he says, well, I can't bake your cake because, you know, you're gay and I don't believe in that. I believe it's your right to say that. I mean, it's your company. It's your right to say that. But then again, you probably can't bake my cake because I believe in gay marriage also. So if I'm behind that couple, I turn around. And now they have every right to stand out in front of your shop with a rainbow flag and go on Facebook and talk about what a despicable bigot you are. But that's what changes.
But then they ran into the mistake of the guy saying, look, I don't bake Halloween cakes that look like they have devilish imagery or other such things. I have a long list of things I will not do. I'm not targeting a community, and that's why at the end of the day it didn't turn out like people thought it would in that case, which was a strange case. But the social media thing, I think we're a little naive about how powerful it is as far as, like, look, man, you get a story out there and it's the wrong way and people get excited or upset about it, you can get some people to mob up and do some things that they wouldn't normally do. And that's where, you know, they kind of run into the thing where they're doing the censorship stuff. It's just a liability issue, man. And there's really no loophole around it, which is why they do the mass suspensions and mass canceling and everything else, deplatforming people. So it's, I don't know, man, it's a terms and condition thing. But
well, you
I
know,
understand what you're saying. I know you got other callers, but, you know, this is good talking with y'all.
No, but this has been one of our more independent and critical thinking type of phone calls. But I'll tell you, you know, I it doesn't really matter to me right now. I just don't want Biden in there for one reason. I think his presidency will be cannibalized by the far left. I think that they realized that he was the most effectively pressured, and he will be the one that will more easily succumb to their demands. That's what I feel about Biden and his mental acuity.
Hey, brother. The Democrats got a long history of beating up leftists. They will fight leftists harder than they'll fight Trump. Don't worry about the Bernie coalition and all of those people. That may be actually why they lose this election, because they pissed off so much of that left.
That's why Hillary lost.
And go after independents. Yeah,
that's why Hillary lost.
Don't worry about them with that, because I mean that's the wing of the party that the Democrats hate, because those people are asking for policy that the Dems, corporate as they are, sure as hell don't want to do. You know these folks. But yo, man, I'm gonna hang back and listen
Nosh.
To y'all.
Yeah, Nosh, listen, I'm gonna put you on hold, and he's gonna set you up to be a guest or something. But I want you to keep calling, because I got people that want to listen to you. Okay, buddy, thank you.
Oh, that's cool, man. All right, man.
All right, Nosh, hold on. All right, we got some more callers on there. I want to get into that in a second, but you know, I do want to play a couple of these. Maybe we'll hear this.
It's over fiction. We choose truth over facts. And so, folks.
Yeah, we choose truth over facts. Or maybe we're going to hear this tonight. How about this? You know, this is.
We hold these truths to be self-evident. All men and women created by go. You know the thing.
You know the thing. You know the thing. Yeah, you know. Yeah. Oh, you mean that thing? The Declaration of Independence? Yeah, we know the thing. Do you know the thing is the question. Do you know the thing? Oh, I got some more good stuff. Oh, man, I wish that intro didn't get cut out before. I who knows? I got to look back at what I even said. We're going to put it on the podcast. But let's go to our next caller. Hold on. What do we got here?
Hello?
Caller, you're on. Oh, that sounds like this sounds like Brett.
Hey, well, it's Brett, and you know why I'm calling. Because
well,
quite
why
frankly,
don't you
I
tell
think
everyone
the de-
else.
Oh, I think the debate tonight is going to be the biggest joke and best comedy hour and a half on TV history since. Whew, I can't even think of an equivalent event, because as far as I'm concerned, you have one candidate who doesn't know when to shut up, and another candidate who doesn't know where he is. I know you like Trump. I dislike both of these people, and I'm just quite frankly appalled at the fact that somehow in a country of 300 plus million people, the two people we have managed to put in a position to be elected as the, quote, leader of the free world, unquote, are the two people that the Republicans and the Democrats have put forth as the candidates. And I think the biggest flaw with Trump's presidency is that he doesn't know when to shut up. I think there'd be a lot less backlash for him if he, quite frankly, I think they should make a new job at the White House. Just Trump's filter. Their only job is to walk around with his Twitter account on their cell phone and filter all the stuff he wants to say on Twitter before it goes on the internet. And the other job is to stand next to him when he's speaking live and just put their hands over his mouth when he starts saying something stupid and be like, oh, we're sorry. The president is done with this topic. We'll take the next question now. And I think it'd be so much fucking better. At the very
watch
least, the less
F-bomb.
Annoying.
Non-use of profanity offends no one, Brett.
I think Trump needs to learn when to shut the fuck up, and I think Biden needs to go. Quite frankly, I feel bad for Biden. Like, I genuinely do, because he should be in one of his multi-million-dollar mansions somewhere, living out the rest of his life, not worrying about this shit, and not being paraded around like a hand puppet where you can see Kamala Harris's hand at the back of his throat from where she's snaking it up his ass. I mean, she's already called it the Harris administration at least, what, once, twice, something like that?
Oh,
he calls it the Harris administration even?
if you think that this man is making it through his first term as president, let's just go with age alone. Let's just go with that. He'll be 80 at the end of his first term. Let's start with that, okay? Secondly, his mental acuity is already being called into question and cognitive decline, okay? You know what's funny? And I find, and by funny, I mean super hypocritical, is that the Democrats that were calling for the 25th Amendment, to invoke the 25th Amendment for Trump, put this guy up to be their candidate. Listen
to
this.
Last question real quick. Some have speculated,
that you
are subject to some degree of cognitive decline. I'm 65. I don't have word recollection that I used to have. I forget my train of thought from time to time. You got 12 years on me, sir. Have you been tested for some degree of cognitive decline?
I've been tested, and I'm constantly tested. Look, all I got to do is watch me, and I can hardly wait to compare my cognitive capability to the cognitive capability of the man I'm running against. Thank you so much.
I mean, does he really, I'm checked all the time. I'm checked all the time. You know why you're checked all the time? Because people realize it's a problem. And check this out. Now, Donald Trump, Brett, Donald Trump is very smart. He's definitely not stupid. Just ask him. He'll tell you himself.
Is Donald Trump and is not Trump? Trust me. I'm like a smart person. Number one, I'm not stupid, okay? I can tell you that right now. Just the opposite. And I was a good student. I understand things. I comprehend very well, okay? Better than, I think, almost anybody. I'm a very smart person. You know, I went to the best school. I went to an Ivy League school. I'm very highly educated. I know words. I have the best words. Putin did call me a genius. People would say I'm the super genius of all time. I'm like a smart person. You know, I'm like a smart person.
Okay, first rule. If you have to tell people you're a genius, you're definitely not a genius.
No, super, not a genius. Super genius of all time. Super genius.
If you have to tell people you're a super genius of all time, you're definitely not.
Now, listen, I know, let's face it. I mean, I am certainly much more on one side than the other. I'm not going to pretend that I'm, you know, I know that Trump's getting my vote, and I understand that. But I know that a lot of Trump supporters right now are probably mad at me, the ones that are listening that even played that. But come on, if we can't laugh at that, I'm voting for him. I mean, listen, look at the alternative, okay? I promise you I'm voting for him. Everybody that's listening right now, I promise you he's getting my vote no matter what. I mean, the alternative is just simply not an option. But
I'm a registered libertarian, and I am so pissed off that they couldn't even try and put some kind of a half effort into this election, because it's like, really, the two most hated candidates in recent memory, and not a single third party could even get enough muster to be like, hey, we have a functioning adult human being running. That instantly makes them more qualified.
Well, I got to be honest. I joke around with some of my friends, and I tell them I feel like writing Hillary Clinton an apology letter and just telling her that I'm sorry, please come back. I didn't mean all those things that I said about you. Because at this point, at least if Trump loses somehow by some, you know, insane, horrible turn of events, that – at least she would be president. I have to be honest. Are you telling me, Joe? I looked at Hillary and I said, oh my God, you picked the most awful candidate. That's why you lost. I mean, could you come up with the worst candidates in Hillary Clinton? And they were all like, 12 people were like, hold my beer. they not only found one, they found like a gigantic list of awful candidates. It was amazing. I'm like, where did they get these people? What rock did these people? Elizabeth Warren, Bernie Sanders reboot, and then the mummy Joe Biden. So I'm looking forward to
that. Oh, wait. You're forgetting about the best one. You're forgetting about the mayor of New York City, Bill de Blasio, who entered the race with a like less than 1% of the vote and left the race with, I think, less than 0% of the vote, and still was saying, oh, no, we're going to stay in this. We're going to have a chance. And it's like, no, just please go. Please leave my city. Please stop being mayor. Please just get out of politics. Just go anywhere. else.
Yeah, Frankenstein has to leave. All right, brother. I'm going to actually talk to you tonight at the debate. So I'm going to be talking to a lot of people tonight. Just flick it on and just humor me, okay? I'll talk to you later.
All right.
All right, Brett, talk to you later. Take it easy. All right. So, you know, we have some open lines. We're looking for some callers. If you want to call in, it's 914-205-5369, 914-205-5369. And, you know, earlier we were talking about the Supreme Court. We've talked with our callers about Coney Barrett. We've talked about – we have a whole lot of things we could talk about. You know, I wanted to talk about Don Lemon. Man, talking about – we need to blow up the system. I mean, I have seen actual lemons that have a higher IQ than Don Lemon. Like an actual lemon is smarter than Don Lemon. Let's listen to Don Lemon for a second. Quick cut.
No matter what happens, everybody sticks to
their
team.
We're going to have to blow up the entire system. And you know what we're going to have to do?
No, I don't know.
You know
that.
What we're going to – yes, yeah. What you're going to have to do?
You just got
to
vote.
Honestly, from what your closing argument is, you're going to have to get rid of the Electoral College. Because the people
– I don't see it.
Because the minority in this country decides who the judges are and they decide who the president is. Is
but
that,
you need a constitutional amendment to do that.
And if Democrats – if Joe Biden wins, Democrats can sack the courts and they can do that amendment and they can get it passed.
Well, you
that's
need two-thirds vote in the Congress and three-quarters of the state legislature.
They may be able to do that.
Maybe.
This guy is a complete idiot. I mean, a total idiot. And this is a political commentator. This is someone we're supposed to take seriously when we watch CNN. And believe it or not, I actually watch CNN. And I know that my friends on the right are going to say, how could you watch CNN? And there's a reason why I watch CNN and MSNBC and all of that stuff. And when you listen to me talk to some of these lefties, you're going to hear me corner them over and over and over again. And that's because I watch their news. And I don't sit there and watch the news and go, uh-huh, uh-huh. When I heard that, you know what went through my mind when I heard that? I said, first off, Cuomo is, to believe it or not, like trying to talk this is some sense into this idiot. He's like, what are you talking about? We'll stack the court. We'll stack the court and we'll change the Constitution. Yeah, it doesn't work that way, dummy. You can't stack the court and change the Constitution. Just go read what you need to change the Constitution. You need two-thirds of Congress to change the Constitution, dummy. Yeah, we'll just stack the court, and then we'll have the votes. I mean, what are you even talking about? What are you talking about? And how are you spreading this cancer all over the airwaves? How does he have a job? Oh. Oh, man. Oh, AOC. Oh, my favorite. Attacking Trump. AOC attacks Trump for a $70,000 write-off for his hair. She attacks him on some social justice level. I'll talk about it in a second, you know, because they called she said the right wing called her a hypocrite. They called her a hypocrite because she spent, because she treated herself and spent $250 on a haircut. Well, first off, you know, she's not that bright, but right away what comes to my mind, if I see Donald Trump wrote $70,000 off and hairstyling on his taxes, if I'm going to make fun of Donald Trump, I'm going to say, man, you spent $70,000 and it came out looking like that? What the hell? I mean, they robbed you $70,000 and that's what you got on top of your head? Jesus, you need a refund. But of course, AOC talks about it from her social justice because she's such a smart social justice warrior. And she says, last year, Republicans blasted a fire hose, hatred and vitriol. She got her thesaurus out. She got hatred and vitriol. Okay. My way, because I treated myself to a $250 cut at Lowlights on my birthday. Where's the criticism of their idol spending $70,000 on hairstyling? Oh, it's nowhere because they're spineless, misogynistic hypocrites. Got it. Oh, what a genius. Oh, wow. Oh, bravo. You're so smart. Yeah, no, it's nowhere because Donald Trump is a billionaire capitalist, okay? That doesn't care how much you spend on yourself if you have the money to do that because you're free to do what you want with your money. It's the whole premise of what they believe in. Unlike you, that thinks that the rich have too much and you should redistribute their wealth to other people and you should tell people what to do with their money. Meanwhile, you're getting $250 haircuts and rolling around in designer outfits. That's what makes you a hypocrite. That's why you're a hypocrite and not them, because they openly tell people, especially Republicans, that it's your money. Do what you want with it. Nobody, you don't owe anybody anything. Nobody should tell you what to do with your money. That's the AOC crowd and the Bernie Sanders crowd telling people what they should do with their money. And then not leading by example. That's what makes you a hypocrite. But really, what's funny about that is $70,000 for that. You wrote off it doesn't look like you spent $70,000. $70,000, I'm sure they could give you a nice piece that would look, better than Burt Reynolds. And, we could talk about the left's attack on Coney Barrett. Attacking Coney Barrett because she's a Catholic, because she adopted. I mean, attacking her over the children that she adopted, two children from Haiti, attacking her over that. Just despicable. Absurd. I mean, just the level of just this disgust that I have for people that would even mention that and bring that up when this woman who obviously knows that she's blessed, yeah, probably because she believes in God, knows that she's blessed and tries to spread that blessing by adopting two children that probably needed, a better life. You want to call that, there's something wrong with that? You want to say there's something wrong with that? Are you crazy? And trust me, your right to kill babies is not going anywhere. Okay? Everyone has pretty much said that Roe versus Wade is established law. Oh, you mean kill babies like the day before they're born or as they're being born? At 9 months or even after they're born? You mean that? Yeah, that you might have a problem with. That's the whole reason that we want to put on another justice. Because there is a huge part of America that thinks that's just despicable. We could talk about the cops being shot in Louisville. Talk about Breonna Taylor's case. And how someone losing their life like that is unfortunate doesn't make what the cops did illegal. How are you going to charge someone with murder? If you want to charge someone with murder, maybe the governor, maybe the legislature of Kentucky, maybe the people that wrote the laws that allowed these warrants to exist in the first place, maybe people like Kamala Harris that used to use information obtained from warrants executed like this to put people in prison for minor drug offenses. Maybe people like that should be held responsible. Not the cops that were simply sent there to execute the warrant and that had bullets fired at them. I know nobody's saying that you're allowed to shoot at cops and they shouldn't shoot back at you, right? Nobody's stupid enough to say that, right? If you are stupid enough to say that, please call me. I would love to hear that argument. And I promise you'll get 2.5 or 3 minutes of saying whatever you want before I go berserk. Oh, Trump's peaceful transition of power. Trump is not going to. He's going to call in the military. He won't give up. Although I will say Trump's comments on a peaceful transition of power sometimes makes stupid comments, but the reality is, what would Trump be able to do if he lost the election? And even if it was brought to the courts, and because we've seen elections wind up in courts before, we all saw what happened in Florida in Bush and Gore. So even if this wound up in the courts, when it's all decided, what do you think he's going to do? And what do you think the military is going to do? Think the military is going to roll right in and say, yeah, oh, no, Trump's a king now? Is that, this type of demagoguery. They call Trump a demagogue. No, this is demagoguery. Trump is going to be a president for life. He's going to be a dictator. He's going to be like, Like what? Like one of your idols? Like Raul Castro? Go ahead, lefties. Tell me what Trump's going to be. Is it going to be like one of your idols? Like Maduro in Venezuela? Like Chairman Mao? Like Che Guevara? What? The irony. The irony. We could talk about Bloomberg. Bloomberg paying the legal fines for 32,000 felons in Florida to vote. I mean, you want to talk about quid pro quo. This guy's out there. As a matter of fact, you know, there is a law on the books in Florida. I don't have it right in front of me right now that says that you cannot exchange things of value for votes. So if you're telling me that paying someone's, you know, legal fines and stuff like that is not a thing of value, I don't know what is. So he's exchanging money for their votes. That's okay? That's crazy. And why would he do that? Why would he pay for a bunch of felons to vote? Could it be because most felons are going to vote for Democrats? Think about that. If you're thinking about going out there, you're a Democrat. You're a middle-of-the-road Democrat. You're an independent, you're a moderate Republican, a never Trump Republican. Think about this, that getting felons to vote would result in more votes for Democrats. That should tell you something. A bunch of felons, violent felons even, getting the right to vote will help your party while you despise and say despicable things about a woman being put on the Supreme Court because she loves her family and believes in God. Whew. What world am I living in? Now, if Trump is smart, he's going to definitely pivot into Hunter all night. $1.5 billion of Chinese money coming back to America 2 months after he gets off the plane with his dad. Burisma. Ukraine. If Trump is smart, this is what he's going to talk about. And it doesn't even matter what Wallace asked him. Let's face it. We all know how debates work. Wallace asked him about coronavirus. He talks about how horrible it was and, you know, that playing Monday morning quarterback wasn't going to save anybody. You know, and idiots like Joe Biden were telling people that if he acted sooner, every life would have been saved. Every life. I mean, just idiocy. Just a moron. And then pivot and say, but you know what the American people do care about? Corruption that is just so blatant. That your drug addict son, who was with his dead brother's wife, who cheated on her with a stripper and had a baby and didn't want to pay child support. Yeah, that wonderful spawn. He came back with $1.5 billion of Chinese money. I think he better start mentioning that during the debate. He should start to mention that before coronavirus crippled the world, the United States economic numbers and where this country was headed. And even despite all of the obstacles the coronavirus has presented in the United States, that Donald Trump getting money to the people and trying to push through Congress more stimulus and more money for the people is probably going to be the thing that holds this economy up for this thing to pass. He needs to talk about stuff like that tonight. And is Wallace going to be fair? I mean, I know that he despises Trump, just despises Trump, but I think he has a little bit too much respect for himself to hand Biden a bunch of softballs and go out there and viciously attack Trump. Let's not forget Joe Biden.
Manish, how are you?
Well, good to see you.
As you know, I got a lot of support from you today.
More to come, I think.
I've had a great relationship. In Delaware, the largest growth in population is Indian American, moving from India. You cannot go to a 7-Eleven or a Dunkin' Donut unless you have a slight Indian accent. I'm not joking. Oh, it's gigantic.
You can't go into Dunkin' Donuts unless you have a slight Indian accent. I wonder how Joe walked in to Dunkin' Donuts mocking Indian people with his accent. Is that how he walked into to Dunkin' Donuts? Or, you know, I love how Biden ran with, in his town hall. I wonder if he'll be able to get away with that tonight with Trump standing right across from him. And, saying how he called soldiers losers and suckers, which we know is just, I mean, look at the source, the Atlantic. That's the source. Okay. With absolutely nothing verifiable. I mean, they really, nice race to the bottom. I mean, you already were a rag of a newspaper now, of a news source. Now you're just a joke. And this idiot goes out there on national television and starts regurgitating this nonsense. I wonder if he'll do it tonight. You know, kind of like, didn't somebody call soldiers stupid bastards one time? Oh, yeah.
And I'd like you to know, notwithstanding what you may hear about me, I have incredibly good judgment. One, I married Jill. And two, I appointed Johnson to the academy. I just want you to know that. Just clap for that, you stupid bastards.
Clap for that, you stupid bastards. But you see, you can't really see it or hear it when you do it on over the radio like this. You have to actually see it. Go look up the clip. He was angry. Nothing for nothing. Just go look at it. He was angry. And then my favorite one of my favorite ones. This, we might hear this tonight from Biden.
Come to you and talk to you about inequality in schools and race. In a conversation about how to deal with segregation in schools back in 1975, you told a reporter, "I don't feel responsible for the sins of my father and grandfather. I feel responsible for what the situation is today, for the sins of my own generation, and I'll be damned if I feel responsible to pay for what happened 300 years ago." You said that some 40 years ago. But as you stand here tonight, what responsibility do you think that Americans need to take to repair the legacy of slavery in our country?
Well, they have to deal with there is institutional segregation in this country. And from the time I got involved, I started dealing with that. Redlining, banks, making sure that we are in a position where, look, we talk about education. I propose that what we take is those very poor schools, the Title I schools, triple the amount of money we spend, from $15 to $45 billion a year. Give every single teacher a raise to the equal raise of getting out the $60,000 level. Number two, make sure that we bring in to help the teachers deal with the problems that come from home. The problems that come from home, we have one school psychologist for every 1,500 kids in America today. It's crazy. The teachers are, and I'm married to a teacher. My deceased wife is a teacher. They have every problem coming to them. We have to make sure that every single child does, in fact, have 3-, 4-, and 5-year-olds go to school, not daycare, school. We bring social workers into homes of parents to help them deal with how to raise their children. It's not that they don't want to help. They don't know quite what to do. Play the radio. Make sure the television, make sure you have the record player on at night, the phone. Make sure the kids hear words. A kid coming from a very poor school, or a very poor background, will hear 4 million words fewer spoken by the time they get there.
Oh, my God. What a pile of garbage. Turn the record player on. Sonny, turn the record player on. What are you talking about? Listening to this guy. You know what this is? This is someone pandering for votes that just, you know, spent his whole life being this racist, legislating racism, and just doesn't know how to pander properly. That's what it is. You know, now all of a sudden they're telling him, well, listen, Joe, you're going to have to pander to some people if you want to make it to the presidency, especially this was during the Democratic primaries. And this is him trying to pander. We know that, you know, we know you don't know how to raise your kids. So, you know, turn the record player on. Take some advice from Uncle Joe. I mean, this is just, I'm having a hard time really even putting into words why this is even a contest. If you want to call and talk about Trump's tax returns, I want somebody on the other side to call. I'll even talk about Trump's tax returns, which are certainly not, you know, certainly not a bright spot for the president. It's hard to go out there and say that, you know, you make $439 million that year and then your tax returns show up and you took a $47 million loss. I think that they're going to have a little fodder when they turn around and say that you, you know, paid $750 in taxes. Meanwhile, you're a billionaire. And they certainly are going to be asking questions about what seems to be $421 million plus in personal loans, guaranteed personal loan guarantees. Now, here's the definition of fake news, though. Rachel Maddow's talking about it, and she says so $421 million in personal loan guarantees, which he can obviously not pay. Well, okay, so you bring up the $421 million in loan guarantees. Okay, fine. You want to have a conversation about it? Let's do that. But then you sneak in stuff like that. See, that's what makes you fake news. What do you mean, obviously, he can't pay? What are you talking about? For starters, what you seem to have, or they seem to have, is a personal tax return. You don't know what all his assets and liabilities are. You haven't done any forensic accounting here to know it. And what do you mean, obviously, can't pay? How do you know he obviously can't pay it? You know, we've seen Trump before, many times before, have financial situations where he had to have bankruptcy protection and whatnot to straighten out his finances and re-put together the kingdom. So I don't know that based on a little bit of leaked, stolen information that you have. And then for you to go out there and report like that is just reckless and irresponsible, but it's exactly why you are who you are, right? To sneak in stuff like that, to say, well, this is $421 million. Just like, you know, it's all, I don't know why Maddow didn't do the investigation into Trump for Russian collusion. Because if you watched her every night, according to her, she had all the info. She should have shared some of it with Mueller because they were able to find nothing. You know, according to Maddow, she had all the witness. She had everything lined up. This oligarch's plane was over here, and this was that, and this was a ha 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 with her little smug little smirks and smiles. Nauseating. He obviously can't pay it. Who's that? What are you talking about? And like I said, I think that I wonder if Trump's going to use some of his great words. I'm just wondering if we're going to hear some of the great words. Like my favorite one, besides, you know, you would be in jail. That was a great one. But also when this one, wrong. That's like one of my favorite ones of all time. That was like one of my favorite ones of all time. And speaking of AOC's attack on Trump and why, to me, it was just logically didn't connect. You know, if you think, I mean, it connects to her crew. You know, the only ones dumber than her are her constituents that voted for her. So, you know. But, you know, this is coming from someone who, you know, speaks like this.
Is that should we, and if we work our butts off to make sure that we take back all three chambers of Congress, rather all three chambers of government, the presidency, the Senate, and the House in 2020, we can't start working in 2020.
All three chambers of government. All three chambers of the House. Oh, wait, all three chambers of government. Imagine correcting yourself and being just as wrong or maybe more wrong than you were in the first place. I wonder if by now she learned what the three branches, I assume she was trying to say. I wonder if she learned what the three branches are, because after she got botched that whole thing up, then she went on to name Congress twice. Did she forget about the judicial branch? I guess by now she knows about the judicial branch. Somebody must have taught her when Ginsburg died. I'm sure someone mentioned to her, hey, yeah, that other branch that you missed in that last time was the judicial branch. And now there's going to be a big, gigantic fight over it. Or how about this? Oh, man, one of my favorites. One of my all-time favorites. I need to get this one in before we close it out in 15 minutes. Check this out.
I'm not the left versus the right.
Right.
Now, the economy is going pretty strong, right? There's roughly 4% unemployment, 3.9% unemployment. Do you think that capitalism has failed to deliver for working class Americans, or is no longer the best vehicle for working class Americans?
Well, I think the numbers that you just talked about is part of the problem, right? Because we look at these figures and we say, oh, unemployment is low, everything is fine, right? Well, unemployment is low because everyone has two jobs. Unemployment is...
Wow. Wow. Still one of my favorites. Unemployment is low because everyone has two jobs. You know, I really like that Naj called before and said that the Democrats hate these socialists more than anybody. I really hope you're telling the truth. I certainly understand that they're definitely sellouts, and they're definitely, it just makes them bigger hypocrites, like, you know, embracing their vote, but then, you know, down low hating them, right? But you hear something like this, like, you know, and that people, like, I mean, this is someone that supposedly has a degree in economics from Boston University. Think about that for a second. And when I hear something like this, I don't get mad at her per se. You know, what am I going to do? I'm mad at you because you're dumb. I'm not mad at you because you're dumb. That's like hate, you know, being mad at someone because they, you know, got cancer or something. I'm not mad at you because you're intellectually deficient. But I shame on you, Boston University. I'll tell you that. Shame on you that somebody can graduate your school with this. I mean, unemployment is low because everyone has two jobs. God. First off, that would probably make unemployment even more, wouldn't it? If everybody was taking up two jobs, right? And making less jobs for people out there, that would probably cause unemployment to go higher. But this is the stupidity of the left that we're dealing with. I will say Biden definitely did have one great answer in the debate once. I think it was it the 2008 when he was Democratic primary, or one of the ones. Did he run for president then, or 1988 also, I think, right? This one, when he's talking to Brian Williams, Brian Williams asked him this question.
Romney's a good man. He cares about 100% of Americans in this country. And with respect to that quote, I think the vice president very well knows that sometimes the words don't come out of your mouth the right way. You can cut tax rates by 20% and still preserve these important preferences for middle-class taxpayers.
Not mathematically possible.
It is mathematically possible. It's been done before. It's precisely what we're proposing.
It has never been done before.
It's been done a couple of times.
And I wonder if he's going to interrupt Trump all night like that. I wonder if he's going to try to interrupt him all night. I have a feeling. I mean, I'm hoping that the debate goes on. I'm hoping that, like, you know, 5 minutes before the debate, he doesn't, you know, turn around and say that he has COVID or something, and all of a sudden becomes like some hero fighting in his basement, but he'll be ready for the election. Who knows? I don't know. Who knows what's going to happen with this guy? I want to see him go up there and actually try to... Maybe he'll say this one.
This last-minute economic plan does nothing to tackle the number one job facing the middle class, and it happens to be, as Barack says, a three-letter word. Jobs. J-O-B-S.
Three-letter word. Jobs. J-O-B-S. I'm sorry. Oh, you can't make this up. You can't make it up. This is going to be a lot of fun tonight. And I'm hoping that, you know, I mean, listen, we're talking about a guy that couldn't even debate Sarah Palin. That was one of the most god-awful debates I had ever seen in my entire life, the Palin-Biden vice presidential debate. And I know, regardless of what side you're on, this is certainly going to be much more entertaining than that. Fact is, whether you love him or hate him, President Donald Trump will certainly make this entertaining to watch. Let's put it that way. And we'll see who comes up with more viable points. I know what Joe Biden's points are going to be. Donald Trump killed everyone with COVID. Donald Trump destroyed the whole country with COVID. Donald Trump wrecked the country, killed 200,000 people. I mean, it's going to be nonsense. I guess he's going to drop the Russian collusion calls, and they're going to drop all of the other stuff. And they're just going to go COVID, COVID, COVID. People died. The economy's in ruin, all because of Donald Trump. Meanwhile, this guy said closing down travel with China was extremely xenophobic, and he would have done more closings and more restrictions on reopenings, and the economy would have been even worse. I have to see what happens tonight, because I just have to see if you could just give me one reason besides he's not Donald Trump to vote for Joe Biden. Just give me one reason. And don't let it come back to, well, it's not Trump, or I'm voting against Trump. So one more time before we go, I love to hear this one.
Is Donald Trump an intellectual? Trust me, I'm like a smart person. Number one, I'm not stupid, okay? I can tell you that right now. Just the opposite. And I was a good student. I understand things. I comprehend very well, okay? Better than, I think, almost anybody. I'm a very smart person. You know, I went to the best school. I went to an Ivy League school. I'm very highly educated. I know words. I had the best words. Putin did call me a genius. People would say I'm the super genius of all time. The super genius of all time. I'm really smart.
I'm smart. I'm like a smart person.
I'm like a really smart person. You know, I'm like a smart person. I'm a big thinker.
I'm a man of great common sense.
I'm one of the smartest people anywhere in the world.
I'm like the super genius of all time. So it's hilarious. Ladies and gentlemen, we are now closing out, and we will sign on next Tuesday, and we will be on for our normal time, 8 o'clock next Tuesday. Everybody will get their invites. We want some callers, but we certainly want some ones for the left. If we get some left-wing callers to call us next week, I don't think there are many out there that we'll even try, but we'll see. Let's get ready for the debates.
Let's get ready to